But the moment you try to come in and change the order of things and the way God wants to do it, you throw things into confusion, and it doesn't work that way. So when you decide that I'm going to be the woman in the relationship or I'm going to be the man in relationship and the roles are going to be reversed, it does not work that way. God cannot bless it that way. So that's why you feel tension when a woman tries to rise up over a man in the marriage relationship, because it was never meant to be that way. Never meant to be that way. Look at the garden. We know that because of the garden, the Bible says that your desire will be for your husband. And so we now have a situation. The desire is not the problem. We all want our wives to desire us. The problem is that when she begins to want to rule over us, because that is not God's heart and that's not God's plan. That's just what the Bible says. And so it works when you understand your role, when you understand your role. So when I'm submitted to Christ and I'm able to do what God's called me to do, it's easier for my wife to submit to me, because it's not about whether she agrees or not. It's about whether or not she does what God's called her to do, because God will bless her in spite of my stupidity. Understand that? Because God is a man that he should not lie. He's not going to lie. And so if he says, this is your role, do your role. And then he says, this is your role, do your role. Guess what? It works. And so we have a real attack on what that looks like today, especially in the Christian church when it comes to marriages. Men necessarily aren't rising up and being men. And it could be a number of reasons why they are like that. It could be that they have a family of origin issue that they're not dealing with, that they saw a passive dad, and so it's hard for them to lead. Or it's a stigma that they walk in, because anytime you see a strong man in society, it's a threat to people. People don't like to see strong men because of what might happen. And when you look at Bible times, especially the OT, there were some strong men and leaders that God used to do extraordinary things. Not that they were perfect, but they were sold out, and that they were men. They were men willing to lay down their lives for a greater cause. Even as you move into the New Testament, and as we've talked about the disciples before, these were men willing to lay down their lives as they spent their lives with Christ, albeit dysfunctional or had issues, but the Holy Spirit got a hold of them and they were empowered and they were sent out to do the work of the gospel. They didn't play games, okay? These were men who did what God called them to do. And I'm concerned because we have men who are not doing what God has called them to do. They're playing games. They're still wondering whether or not Facebook, Instagram, Twitter has got their likes where they need to be. They're still wondering about their image. And instead of wondering and working on the relationship with God and others, they're so concerned about self. And anytime you get concerned about self, there's issues. And God wants you to enjoy life, and God wants you to have great things. But when you circumvent the process and you get outside God's will and decide that you're going to do it on your own just because it feels good, then what happens is that you rob yourself of the blessing that God has for you in the confines of the grace that God has called you to live in. If God has called me to live in that grace, in the confines of that bed with that woman, guess what? That's where the grace is going to be. That's where the pleasure is going to be. And when the scripture says the marriage bed is undefiled, it is. Thank you, Jesus, because of the fact I'm where I'm supposed to be. It's hard when you're not. When you're not. What do I mean? I'm not saying that once you get married that you're not going to have doubts and look back and say, I don't even know if he's the one or she's the one. You married now. You married. You married now. It's not... You said, I do. I do. Not I did. No, I do. That was like five. No, I did. Then we went on the honeymoon. No, you said, I do. Okay. And barring, we're not going to go into some of the, because everybody wants to look for outs. They want to look for outs. Well, what about this situation? When can I walk away? That shouldn't even be in your heart. That should not even be in your mind. Ask anyone who's gone around that mountain several times. That should not even be in your mind. Would they trade health and wellness for the stuff that they had to go through just to get where they are now, to be in a good place with God? So your mind should be, I do. And I'm going to work this thing out until death do us part. We're going to stay together. That's not even our vocabulary. Divorce is not in my vocabulary. It's hard, yeah. But marriage is supposed to be, because it is the greatest representation of God to the earth, because the two are becoming one. It is a cutting away of the flesh of two individuals. They are joined in a spiritual union. And that union is a representation of Christ himself in his love for the church. And so there is a fight along with that. And I understand there are times where people have walked away because the situations have been abusive or difficult. And that is something that people have to wrestle with in their relationship with God. That is up to you and the Lord. But for us to look for an out just because it is difficult is a lie from the enemy, and it is a robbing of what God's potential for you and that relationship can be. Because if you're going to grow in your relationship with Christ, you're going to have to understand you're going to have to do hard things the rest of your life. The rest of your life. And marriage just is going to bring that to another level. Another level. Just because you had a bad day, it doesn't give you the right to start looking somewhere else to try to fill your need. Or look for different options. Because this one isn't doing it for you anymore. Well, you're only 8 months into it. And now you're looking for someone else, thinking that they're going to solve and fill the need that only God can fill. That person cannot fill that need. And so you have to have an understanding of that before you even get into marriage, because there is an understanding that God is going to satisfy the needs of both of you as you work together for his purpose. Purpose. Where I fall short, God meets it. Where she falls short, God meets it. And it continue, and we continue in our walk of faith, knowing that God's going to bless it. Why? Because we decide to stay in it. Every day. Every day. Get up. Choice to stay in it. Take up my cross. Follow him. It's the kindness of God that leads me to repentance, to turn around and say, I can't do that anymore because my spirit is disturbed. I'm getting pricked in my conscience. I cannot do it anymore. I'm sorry. And you as a man have to rise up and whatever type of relationship, married, single, and say, you know what? I'm not going to allow myself to be put in a position where I'm going to compromise or lead you into a place of compromise. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. God's too important. What God has for me is too important for me to mess up and do what I want to do just because it feels good. Well, this isn't the type of Christianity that I really am used to, because God so loved the world that he gave. He did give. But don't insult him by ignoring what he's asking you to do. You know, when you were growing up, and many of you raised kids in here, right? So it was disrespectful when you asked your kid more than once, several times, to do something, and it was like they were ignoring you. And finally you said, are you hearing what I'm saying? Because you started to get irritated, because what you asked them to do, you were serious about them doing. You weren't just blowing smoke. And I think in our relationship with Christ, it's the same thing. I've asked you to do this because I'm serious about it, and I want blessing in your life. And if you will do it, I'll bless you. But if you don't, then we'll continue to have this war. And anytime you war with God, there's always a victor. It's not you. Because God is coming back for a church without spot or blemish. And he is shearing stuff in our life off so that we can walk freer and be free of the burden of having to carry on or carry the weight of the world. And that's what we do. When you don't submit, you end up carrying the weight of the world on your shoulder. And you have a hard time resisting the enemy, because you're resisting in your own strength, because you're carrying your compromise, you're carrying your sin, you're carrying all this stuff, and you're trying to submit to God, and the devil's not leaving you alone. He's in your rearview mirror just looking at you, and you haven't submitted it over to God. If you'll submit it over to God, guess what? Weight will be released. That's why we defer to the word as our final authority. We submit to it. We submit to it. Okay. I don't have to carry this marriage on my own. Because as I submit to God, he carries the weight of it fully. I carry my responsibility. And we can walk along and we can be blessed. But the moment that I take on the responsibility of trying to make Misty happy all the time, I put myself in a position that is godlike. And then I rob myself of my identity, thinking that I have to be something that I cannot be to her. I cannot be. And vice versa. Women, when you control your man, what it does is that it brings tension into that relationship, because number one, men don't typically like to be controlled. And two, is that most of the time you control because you're not getting your way. Or you don't like what the man is doing, and you are afraid that if you don't control him or let him know about what's going on, that you might lose him or there might be some repercussion because of what he's doing. Let him go. Let him go. Control is a big deal. It is a big deal. You don't like to be controlled. You don't. But once you do it to someone else, you realize it's not healthy. Not healthy. If he's going to walk, let him walk. If she's going to walk, let him walk. God's big enough to bring him back around. God will find him. God will find, if God can find Jonah, he'll find your boy. He'll find him. Don't try to stop what God might want to use to get your attention. They're running today. Everybody's running. Where are you running to? Have you thought about it? Where are you running to? I'm running. You know I'm going. No, where are you going? I'm running. I'm running to someone like me. I'm running so I can feel good. I'm running so I'm respected. Okay? Keep running. Because what will happen is that God will turn you right back around and say, I want you to go back and I want you to deal with that. I want you to be a man and go back home. No. Okay? I want you to go back and I want you to be a man and I want you to do what I've asked you to do. And eventually, something has to give. Something. So if you continue in that pattern, God will continue to send you back around to deal with it. Continue to do it. Because he's that good. He's that loving. Because he's wanting to do something in you. I want to be promoted. Do what I've asked you to do. I want to be blessed. Love your wife. All that is encompassed in submitting. I'm submitting to the process. I may not agree with what's happening, but I submit to the process. Thank you, Lord. And when I do that, guess what? God's grace fills it. Because it's more than a feeling. If you expect to get anywhere with God and promoted, you got to bypass the feeling and know that God's grace is sufficient. There are some things in my life that I would not have been able to handle and endure if the grace of God wasn't holding me up and keeping me steadfast in the middle of it as I submitted to the process. Ask Missy, ask any woman in here, how many times if you're married, that you wanted to walk away. That's natural at times. It's natural. No one's denying the fact that you got to be perfect, but you override what your crazy mind said that day, and you do what you know you're supposed to do until God tells you otherwise. Because God knows something that you don't know. That there is a blessing in staying. There's a blessing in being in a situation, even when it's hard, that produces something in it that doesn't happen any other way. There are so many kids right now who are growing up too quick. Too quick. Being introduced to issues of identity and sexuality at an early age. Early age. I'm talking like elementary age, early age, and having to deal with that stuff and learning what to do and how to filter it and know what to do and questioning who they are and maybe I'm this and maybe I'm that. And they're struggling. And so parents, if you don't do your job and give them the tools that they need to succeed and tell them who they are and that they're loved by Christ, and that the way God made them is sufficient, and that God has a plan for them, and that though they may go through seasons, that God's love is constant, and that God is who he says he is, and they are who God says that they are, they will grow up being misled. You have a responsibility. You do. And parents, I'm talking also about parents who have kids that are grown, who are still in pig pens because they got their inheritance eating slop because they went out thinking that they could take care of business, but they didn't have the solid foundation that they knew they should have. And so they went out and they're wondering, can I go back home? They're wondering, can I get any better? You need to be praying for your kids. Young kids, adult kids, that God gets a hold of them so that what they learned when they were a kid will not depart from them as they get older, because the word doesn't return void. And so your prayer is that that word keeps smacking them in the back of the head. There is a war on identity today. There is a war on it, and the enemy is doing everything he can to screw kids up. Let's be honest, screw them up. So much so that they can't have a relationship, an honest relationship with someone without doubting their sexuality. I feel like this, so I must be this. No, you know what? There are some things you're going to feel that are, you think that are natural, that are not, but it's part of growing. You didn't get yourself right until later. Be honest. There are some things you dealt with that God allowed you to deal with until you finally saw who you were, and you're like, oh. But that assault is coming early. And so you're going to have to stand up now. If you think that's going to change, right now it's coming and the friction is there. And so it is knocking on the door right now and saying, let me in. Because the enemy is doing everything he can to make people see what they're not supposed to see. It's more than a feeling. Just because you feel it doesn't mean you are it. Because you are dealing with a nature, the effects of a sin nature still on the inside of you that has a tendency to flare up. If you don't think so, read Romans 7. When Paul was struggling with the fact that he doesn't do the things that he wants to do all the time because he's at war with himself, and it's that nature inside of him that's causing him to do certain things. There's a war that takes place between the spirit and what your flesh wants, and sometimes the flesh wins, and that there's a natural byproduct of the nature, that old nature. And if you don't think that old nature is detrimental to you, I want you just to take an inventory of some of the thoughts you even thought this week. Things that cross your mind and pop up, you're like, I don't know where that came from. But if you're not careful, you don't arrest it and keep moving, it can grab you. Because you see things and you're like, hey, hold on, maybe that is true. Nope, it's not. Because in your attempt to be compassionate or sympathetic, sometimes that can lean over into compromise. I want to be sympathetic. You know what? Maybe it's not so bad. And what we do is we compromise what really should be truth. And as a result is now we allow. It's okay. And instead of intervening, we let it just be what it is. That's why we talk about emotional health so much, that be sympathetic, but don't be codependent. And so if I'm blessed to be in a marriage situation, if I'm blessed to have kids, if I'm blessed to be in a church, they all come with certain stigmas that we have to get over. But if we don't understand that the Spirit of Christ has to get in the middle of it all to work it out, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Be sympathetic, but don't be codependent. Be loving, but don't give yourself over to someone when you should not give yourself over to someone. Protect your heart and your emotions. Well, I'm just a feeling person. More so, protect your heart and your emotions. God made you that way and you are beautiful. But set a boundary, protect your heart and your emotions, because those things can be used in a negative way. The enemy will get in and all of a sudden you fall in love with someone you don't need to fall in love with. Because you're not getting attention, but you saw someone and now you fell in love with them because of the intention that they gave you. And now you're in trouble. That's why if you're married, you got to make each other a priority and not go seasons, plural, without trying to meet one another's needs. Do you understand? Because what happens is it is quick for eyes to shift. I don't care how long. It's quick because the enemy is crouching at the table of your marriage, just trying to get in and have a picture of him as you're sitting here and as your wife is sitting here. He's the mediator between you two, just trying to get in and talking on your shoulder. You see, he never meets your needs. He never fills your love tank. He never does this. But you remember that person there? Remember, they fill it. You're right. He does fill it. And all of a sudden, you're battling with that because you're not getting what you need here. You're battling here. And all of a sudden, it becomes tempting. And before you know it, you've left a ruin. And now you're thinking about, I'm going to contact him on Monday. Because how easy it is. Quality time, words of affirmation, misused love language, top two. When that's being met, the love is there, it's good. But when that's depleted, countenance. Because that's the way that it's filled for her. Regardless if I feel like filling it. Because it's more than a feeling. Husbands, love your wife. She's the weaker vessel. And so regardless if I feel like it, I still have to do it. Because the grace of God is sufficient for me to do it, even when I don't feel like it. Because why? It's more than a feeling. If I went on feeling the whole time, we'd be in trouble. And vice versa. Because as we make a choice to go in it by faith and do it because God asked me to do it, all of a sudden God blesses it and all of a sudden I get filled up. Because I'm laying down my life for her. Make sense to you? So, okay, for those guys, and we're about ready to close. So those guys who are in a single relationship and you're dating someone, don't compromise so quick. Don't compromise so quick. That person that you're in a relationship with needs time to develop and needs time to grow and understand who they are. So don't rush them into a place to make a decision that they're not ready to make a decision just because you're applying pressure because you want to get married because you want to justify sex. And that's what happens. We want to justify our pleasure. And so in order to justify our pleasure, we got to make sure it's godly. But if you want it blessed, you're going to give that person time to grow and develop. And you're going to do it God's way. You do it God's way, he's going to bless you. You want friction the whole way up to the altar? Do it your way. And marriage doesn't solve your shadows. I'm going to get married. It's going to be the best thing I ever did. Is it? Because it's going to bring you to a realization of how short you fall. And how much work that needs to be done in you. It's a blessing, but it's a refining process. You can't solve what's broken just by putting another piece of the puzzle in. It could help with the healing process, but that person cannot become the God to you that you need. Listen, if you got checks in your spirit before you get into a relationship, heed the check. Even if you're on your way to get married, if you have checks all the way up to your wedding day, heed the checks. Don't be the fool that does it just because you don't want to look bad. Cry now or cry later. Just because you thought it was something that it wasn't supposed to be, I'm not saying that you're not going to have to discern things, but there should not be World War III leading up to your marriage. I'm sorry. If there are two people who are committed to Christ, and they are walking with him and talking with him, while there might be growing pains, and there always is, there is still peace that passes understanding, that guards your heart and mind, and that peace is a sign that I am doing what God has called me to do, even though it's the unknown, and even though I may not know what's coming, I'm still going to walk by faith, and I know that God's called me to be here. That is your sign. But if you are in turmoil, stop. Take a step back. What's going on? And it could be that you're doing something that you shouldn't do as far as taking up a role that God never called you to take up. Because listen, once you get married, that person still has a choice to stay in it or not. See, that's what we think too sometimes, where we get married, they're mine now. They're mine. No, they're not. What do you mean? They're not yours. They're God's. And God has gifted you to that person for a season to do life together. But if you can quickly release them to God and understand that they're not yours, you're going to live freer, happier life. Freer and happier. I just feel like there's a distance growing between us. You got to work that out. God doesn't stop pursuing you just because you're with someone. He doesn't stop pursuing you. So if you didn't get it right before you got married, God said, we're going to try to get it right in marriage. God doesn't stop the process just because now you're with someone else. Oh, they're going to do my job. No. It don't work that way. God still does his job. And he's still pursuing you.